Thanks for tuning in to another interview with the Duluth Rundown podcast. We're going to hear from Kyle Schmidt in just a sec. But first, a message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro. Austin Jaro is Duluth's original running specialty store. You looking for new shoes? Head up to Austin Jaro. They got different widths, all different sizes, bunch of different brands, new shoes, bunch of different older models, sale shoes. Austin Jaro can definitely help you out. Just pop up to 917 West Central Entrance here in Duluth. Thank you to Austin Jaro.
All right, and so let's get started now with our interview portion of the Duluth Rundown podcast. We are joined by local runner and athlete and interviewer and blogger himself, Kyle Schmidt. Kyle, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me. Looking forward.
Well, we were talking a little bit before we started recording. You and I haven't met. I think you and Mike know each other a little bit.
Yeah.
I've been following you a little bit on some social media things with the Duluth Runner, and really like, you know, what you're bringing. It's kind of a similar approach to what we're doing with trying to just introduce the people to local runners. Because you and I haven't met, and I don't know if some of our podcast or our podcast listeners haven't met you. Tell us about your running background. What got you started, and for some of the people who kind of motivated you and mentored you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like I've always enjoyed running around ever since I was a kid. And I guess the first formal introduction to running would have been in elementary school. I think it was, I want to say it was fifth grade. No, it couldn't have been. It must have been like first or second grade. There was a little trail run, maybe like half mile at most, and had fun at that. And I think they kind of used it as like a recruiting tool for cross country too. And then there was another run, I think it was fifth grade, and had fun at that. And then after that run, the cross country coach at the time, Kevin Leonard, asked if I'd be interested in coming out for cross country the following year in sixth grade. And that was kind of how it's all started from there. I ran cross country sixth through 12th grade, track seventh through 12th grade, and then pushed in between those two seasons was hockey. And then I guess I golfed and played baseball in the summer too.
Kind of a classic all around sports. And what school did you go to?
I graduated from Hermantown, kindergarten through 12th grade.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah. So right here in the Twin Ports.
Nice. Yep.
Very nice. What was kind of your, I guess, favorite distances, or what did you gravitate towards through that time in, I guess, up through high school?
Yeah, so cross country kind of gravitated up to the 5K earlier on. I think it was later middle school, started running JV and varsity stuff. So I was doing 5Ks ever since seventh grade, eighth grade. And then track, I'm weird. So I obviously, due to the cross country, I kind of started out with the mile, 2 mile, and kind of the 800. And as things progressed, I got down into the sprints actually. And like my junior year, for sections, and then at state, it was 4x1, 4x2, 4x4 was the lineup. But did some halves here and there. Sophomore year was the last time I really ran the 800, but I would say that was probably my best event. And then I ran it once as a senior. But so probably should have ran that more, but we had some success with relays in my time at Hermantown. So I kind of gravitated, coaches wanted me on that. And I enjoyed the shorter stuff too. It was all fun. So, I'm all over the place. I didn't specialize in any one thing. Ran open 200s all the way up to the 2 mile. So even tried an open 100, but I was not good out of blocks. So yeah, open 4 and open 8 were probably my two strongest in track, I would say.
And where did cross country and track kind of fall in your full spectrum of high school sports.
Yeah, so I absolutely loved all the sports that I played. But cross country always had a soft spot in my heart. I just loved the atmosphere. Like, it wasn't all cutthroat like in some other sports where, like, you're rooting for your competitors. Everyone's rooting for you. You're talking with the person that just outkicked you at the end of the race. Like, I just thought that atmosphere was so cool. And the other coaches were so helpful too. Like Mike Bushy, I talked to him all the time at races. Saul Malone, he was at Marshall, and numerous other coaches, along with my own coach, Kevin Leonard as well. And it was just fun to bounce ideas off of everyone and just get to know people and fellow runners in the area. But my true love was probably hockey at the time. And that it seemed to transition well to track as well. So it all sort of worked together in this weird, awesome way.
Yeah, I'm curious about, I know nothing about hockey, but I'm curious how much you felt like, you kind of alluded to it just now, but how much you felt track and cross helped with even golf, with your other sports, just in terms of, you know, track is referred to as athletics, is kind of what it's called. The rest of the world is athletics and not necessarily track and field. So I've always felt like, we don't think of track athletes as being athletic people. We just think of them as being fast. But a lot of times I think the truly good athletes who are good at a lot of sports are good at track. What do you think? Do you think that contributed to your success in other sports as well?
I definitely do. And just staying fresh, like I didn't run during hockey like at all and didn't really go too nuts over the summers either. So I was always excited for that next sport to start. And yeah. I think my whole high school career, I had like negative time between sports. Like they always overlapped. So it's not like I ever had a break. It was just from cross country right to hockey and then hockey right to track. But I mean, I loved it too and had a blast with my friends in each of those sports. And I definitely am a fan of diversifying and playing more than just one sport. And I actually wasn't going to run my senior year of cross country, and I was just going to lift and get ready for the hockey season because I wanted to pursue a career post high school in hockey. And an ex-UMD hockey player actually kind of convinced me, like, hey, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. Go have fun with your friends. And I actually started a month late of cross country my senior year, and I think it was the best decision of my life to go back out for cross country, because it was also one of the hardest things ever to go tell my coach since seventh grade that I wasn't coming out for my senior year. So I was definitely glad I went back and made that decision and didn't play fall hockey, just had fun with my friends in cross country.
That's super cool. That really brings up, there's always quite a debate about, you know, especially high school and younger athletes, should they specialize or should they diversify? And it sounds like you're on the side of diversify.
Absolutely. And granted, things work out for different people, but I just feel right. Like you can get burnt out so easily. And then I guess to go on the diversify word, I mean, your eggs are all in one basket then. If you're thinking, hey, I want to play post high school in this one sport and that's all I'm going to do, well, what if you break your leg or something happens, or a whole multitude of things could happen where, hey, that it's not going to end up working out the way you thought, and you spent all this time just devoted to one sport, which can be good at times too, but I'm definitely a proponent and I've seen more good come from that situation than anything.
Yeah, that's cool.
So how did you transition with all the sports that you played to post-high school and into college? And kind of how did you transition with your running going into college, Kyle?
Yeah, so it kind of stopped. I played 2 years of junior hockey up in Fairbanks, Alaska for the Ice Dogs, and then was lucky enough to come back and play for UMD here in town. And it just, especially distance running, it's probably not the best if you want to be an explosive 30 to 45 second shift hockey player. So it kind of just, it took the back seat. Like, we'd have the mile run, and we actually did a 2 mile run, I think my senior year in college. So I got to run in that and maybe prepped just a tiny bit for it, but otherwise it just was on pause. And It was a choice, and I was glad I did it, but I always knew whenever hockey was done, I was going to get back into running. And after 1 year of playing overseas after graduating from UMD, the summer of 2012, I started running again and haven't looked back.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you didn't compete in cross country or track at UMD or... Yeah, it was strictly hockey, right?
Yeah. I mean, we'd start in August, and I guess my senior year, we ended in early April. So there was no time to do other sports. Thought about maybe track my freshman year. Fulcrad reached out, but it was just, I would have been terrible, not in any sort of running shape. And after doing hockey for so long that during the school year, it was nice to kind of have a break for the last month and a half too.
Yeah, for sure.
It's quite the shift from, you know, diversified to hyper specialized into college, huh?
I know. Exactly. Yeah, it was both nice to be able to focus on it, on one thing finally, but also at the same time, I made sure I was still going swimming with my friends and playing golf a ton and playing softball on a like bar league softball type thing. So definitely still enjoyed other sports, but as far as the heavy commitment, yeah, then it was hyper specialized, like you said, for college.
So tell us about your running now. Like, what do you, what do you do for mileage? What are you training for anything specifically? And not necessarily even just 2020, but or 2021, I guess we're in. But just in the past like 5 years or so, what's your running been like and your focus been at?
Yeah, so I was just getting into like 5Ks again and steadily. I think my first one was a local one here in Esco, and in the next like year. Yeah, I guess it would have been the year later at the same race, ended up taking like something over 3.5 minutes and set my new like lifetime 5K PR in the span of a year of being back at it. And the first one was like with no training. I just started running like a month before after taking 7 years off or whatever it was. So that one hurt. And I guess so did the PR one. they both hurt just in different ways. Mm-hmm. And so got in with that. And then after that, I basically just jumped straight to Grandma's Marathon training.
Oh, nice.
the first time I got injured with common overuse injuries, not knowing what I was doing and just jumping in all gung ho. But then the year after that, so I think it was 2014 was the first time I ran it and just bonked epically at mile 18, and it was just a supper fest from there on out. And then 2016, I tried it again. Better result, but still bonked really hard at like mile 21 or something like that. And didn't want to end the training like that, so I signed up for the whistle stop. And was feeling great for that. And same thing. It was like way too hot for October. It was like in the 60s and I like cold weather. and ended up bonking hard at like mile 13. It was just probably overtrained at that point. It was ugly. So, but I knew I was in good shape. My I ran like a 22 mile training run, like amazingly, but then I couldn't do anything in a race. So I knew I wanted to piece it together, and I ended up running a third marathon just around Esco here with my training partner, Greg Hexum. And he ran the whole thing with me, and then a couple other people joined throughout the way, but started out at like 3:37 a.m. on deer opener of 2016, ran a marathon, and finally held it together, got my goal time, and celebrated like crazy, and probably woke a bunch of people up. So that was my experience. And then after that, I jumped up to 50 milers and got into trail running and ultras. So
yeah,
kind of the path that I've been on for a while, except for last year with races getting canceled, and just sort of a natural focus for last year was shorter, faster stuff. So I ended up doing 5K time trials, mile time trials, even 400s and stuff like that. And that was really fun too. And ended up actually getting to race the Wild Duluth harder than heck. So, and I feel like that speed training really transitioned well to my trail efficiency, and that race ended up going well. So this year I'd love to do the Superior 50. We'll see if there's any openings at all or if it happens. So
all right.
Yeah cool.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Kyle, you know, again, kind of that next transition from, you know, playing hockey, not really running a lot, and you kind of alluded to, you know, wanting to get back to running, but was it really, you know, internal, like, I want to get back, I miss running, or did you have some kind of external factors, whether it be, you know, kind of running mentors, friends, or, you know, a race that popped up? I mean, what kind of got you back into it as more of a focus after, you know, seriously playing hockey for several years?
Yeah, I know exactly what it was. I have a problem with being competitive, and I need to learn to turn it off. I haven't figured out how to do it yet. Having three kids has kind of helped, where I let them win at things. So that's been good training for their psycho dad. But I think it definitely, after playing competitive sports, and specifically hockey for 20 years, like, I still needed to fill that void. And that's what it started out as. But now it's sort of, it's really lifetime fitness, having fun and going on adventures, because it's harder to just go for like a 2-week Boundary Waters trip when you have a family. So it's easier to go out for an hour and a half trail run through the woods somewhere like Jay Cook or in Duluth. So it's kind of like filling that role as well. I get to go on a little mini adventure, be in the woods, fresh air, and exercise. So it kind of hits on all of my favorite things.
Do you feel like kind of this kind of new start into the ultra world is also feeling that competitive itch, just in terms of this is something new to get good at?
Yeah, it was. So I've done different 50s and a couple 50Ks. So this year it'd just be like getting back to that after a year of fast training. But yeah, it's definitely, it absolutely fills a new like void where, okay, like, I know I can go and run a marathon. I have checked that off the list, even though most of them were horrific experiences. Like, I know I can run that distance, or I know I can run this speed for a 5K. 50 miles, that starts to be like, especially the first one, it was like, I was running scared the whole time. I just didn't want to do too much because I had no idea what I was in for. My longest training run was a marathon. Like, that was the longest distance. So it was basically double that. And that challenge was both exciting and terrifying all at the same time. And yeah, the first one went super well, like way better than it ever should have. And it had me hooked. Where the next year, it didn't go so well. So now it's, I definitely want to try it that third time. And I feel like I have things better figured out. I wouldn't say I have them figured out by any means, but I feel more confident, I guess I would say, going into a longer race like that now after having some of those experiences.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious, Kyle, looking back to those first few races, those first marathons where, you know, pretty tough experiences. What went wrong, do you think? And what did you learn, you know, to bring forward to future races through those experiences?
Yeah, so that first grandma's, I knew I wanted to run decently fast for myself. And especially right away, you taper a little going into, you just feel great. So even running fast feels easy. And yeah. I just kept being like, well, okay, why not run faster? I don't know. Like, I don't, so I just kept ratcheting it up. And then probably was not fueling. Well, I know I wasn't fueling as my body needed to now looking back and having way more endurance experiences to draw on. So that was an issue. Training probably could have been better, but I was definitely prepared. But man, I just kept ratcheting down the pace and it was not smart. And I paid for it dearly.
Do you remember, I mean, were your splits just like, you know, drastically different, you know, like a big positive split, or do you remember some numbers from that grandma's?
Well,
or?
I just remember I knew the first mile I should take it easy. So I did that. But then from there on out, it was like every mile was faster than the last one. Oof. Through like mile 14. And I was just like. And then I started to worry a little bit, and I think I had to do a quick bathroom stop. And then after that, getting going again and was feeling okay. But then mile 20 hit and it was just like, I have no idea what's going on right now. Like I've never been able to not run right. until that experience. And now it's happened multiple times for me, which I guess endurance running can do. But wow, it was in the moment, it was terrible. I was like, I have no idea how I'm going to get the canal. I literally have no idea. I didn't want to go by people that I knew cheering for me who knew like what kind of time I was looking to run or all of that stuff. So it was, I guess, a word would be humbling, not just because I went in not really pretty naive. Right. Thinking, yeah, I mean, training's been going well. Might as well just go and run this time, and yeah, it should be easy. And no, it was not at all. marathons are anything but easy. Yeah. So, but there's a ton of learning that happens in situations like that. So that's where basically all of my best learning in life has come from, things that didn't work out as I was planning or hoped. So I'm definitely thankful that I had those experiences because they've shaped the runner that I am today as well.
Right. Picking up little tidbits, you know, in each race that doesn't go so well, right?
Yep, exactly.
How did you transition to trail and or how did you transition to longer distances?
Yeah, so basically recruiting from coworkers, because I was the guy that I worked at Maurice's, and now I'm at Minnesota Power. And granted, we've been working from home for almost a year, but I started out just doing lake walk every day, like at lunch or before work. And I just did that. I knew I had my own little track out there. Like I knew where 100 meters was, 200 and so on. So I could do all my interval stuff for 5K training. I don't know. That's all I knew was road running, really.
Right.
And then I remember a coworker at Maurice was like, oh man, you got to try trails. You'd love it. I go, yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I'm just going to stick to this. I want to run a fast 5K. And then once I got to Minnesota Power, there was more pull to hop on the trails And once I did that, I remember the first, it had to have been Chester. We ran up Chester and I'm gassed because I haven't done a real hill yet since being back running. And I was just, even though I was sucking wind, I was just in heaven. I was like, this is, I knew about Chester. Like I went to UMD, so I had hiked through there and stuff, but not the entire length. And just to know, oh, you could de-stress from work midday and go for a run and be in the woods in the middle of Duluth. It was incredible. So that kind of got me into it. And then a coworker on a Monday said, hey, the Kernel is this weekend. You should run. So obviously I had not trained for it. And on Wednesday, I signed up for it that year. And I went in just, this is a learning experience. I didn't carry any water. I didn't carry any nutrition. I was just like, I'm going to use whatever is at aid stations. So I didn't practice with anything, nothing. And ended up just having a blast of a day, ran super well, and I was hooked. After that, I was hooked. So, yeah, it was probably that Kernel experience. It must have been 2017, I think, or 2018, one of the two. But, yeah, it's been all trails ever since that, essentially, with the exception of this past year with time trials.
Yeah. Do you think, like, or do you feel like you have better success at a certain type of race or a certain type of trail, or like what's your bread and butter, Kyle?
Yeah, I feel like it's starting to be in that right around that half marathon trail distance. That's because I'm nowhere near fast enough to compete with people in a 5K, like a bunch of people that used to run at UMD, like, okay, there's no way I'm going to compete with them. There's no way I'm going to compete with them anywhere on a road other than maybe a 200 meter race. And even then, I don't know anymore. I have no idea. Maybe back in high school, it would have been a close race. They'd probably kill me in that too. But on trails, I feel like it sort of levels the playing field a little bit. And maybe some of those super speedsters don't run the trail. So there's that. And I just love, like, it's not just the one foot in front of the other running. Like, it's sort of that athletic movements, like you're going to fall on your face if you're not careful. So I really like that fun adventure part and knowing that, hey, if something goes wrong, I could get hurt here. So yeah. That adrenaline rush, especially running fast in a race, is so awesome and almost addicting. Just traversing over rocks, or I guess in the harder than heck, it was slippery bridges and stuff. Like, I don't know, just you always have to be on and focused on your footing, or you could be laying on the ground. So I really enjoy that. And I feel like the half marathon, if I'm running that hard on trails, it's right at the edge of when I might be bonking. So I get to actually finish the race, which is nice. Anything longer and I'm just scared from my previous experiences that I'm going to fall apart at some point. So that's kind of why I want to get back into those longer things, is to kind of conquer it on, like, from a self standpoint, not necessarily beating everyone, but hey, I didn't bonk. I ran decently hard and had a great time. So there's that challenge of it. But I would say the trail half marathon, somewhere in that realm, is probably my bread and butter if I had one.
Kyle, you talked about that competitive spirit that you have, and you kind of strike me as, you know, pretty kind of a type A personality. You're kind of going all in when you do something. I'm curious about when you're out training. Number one, when you're running, do you always kind of have a plan, like a training, whether it's a training plan or like, you know, that each run has got, I'm trying to get this done, or with your running, are things pretty laid back and you're just kind of,
I'm just going to casually get some miles in and whatever happens, happens kind of a guy.
So it's a mix. I would say if I didn't have to work, didn't have to worry about a family at home, it would be, oh, I know exactly what I'm doing. It's going to be this week, this next week, and so on. Uh-huh. But now it's way more laid back, and I have way more fun than I used to with just training, because it is more, okay, well, I have a meeting at work that popped up now, and I've got to go get the kids from this at this time. So instead of X number of minutes, I have to do 20% less. And that probably means I can't do this harder workout that I want to do. So I'm just getting out, getting the time on my feet. And I kind of like, I like to look at it as like just getting out for a run. I feel like it's never, even if it's 15, 20 minutes, I like to do that if I can, because it's kind of like,
right,
what's better in your bank account? Nothing or $2? Yeah, you wanted to put $10 in your bank account, but your bank account is going to look better and feel better if you put the $2 in, and it will reward you longer term than if you didn't put anything in. So I like to keep it simple mindset like that. Like, hey, okay, yeah, I'm a little peeved that I can't get what I wanted to in, but hey, I still get to go and do this and get some fresh air and have fun doing it. So just being thankful for that. But I definitely have a structure to my week that I like to attempt to stick to. Whether or not I get to, it's all over the map. But I have a structure that I like to try to.
Kyle, how old are your kids?
7, just turned 5, and 1.5.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a blast.
Yeah.
Those
are super fun ages for sure.
Yeah, and exhausting, but
yes.
Yeah. Do you have any kids?
Yeah, I have 2 stepdaughters. They're a little older though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, kids are awesome.
For sure.
I'm curious, Kyle, if you have any favorite races, or are you the type of person you do same race every year, just like kind of put it on the calendar for next year?
I mean, all of my races are Duluth, North Shore, or Ashland. That's like where I've gone in the past like 5 years. Mm-hmm. So like it would be fun to maybe try some destination type things and work it into like a family vacation or something, like show up on a Friday, the race is Saturday and Sunday, but then you have the whole next week to hang out, that sort of thing. Because no one would want to be around me if it's at the end of that family vacation, because I'd be all stressed out about, oh, I got to get this in, and that wouldn't be any fun. So the destination races are something I want to start doing. I just have no idea when that's going to be. And for right now, sticking within 3 hours from Duluth is kind of where I'm at. And it just so happens some of the sweetest races are all in that radius. So I really like the Superior spring and fall races. I'm a huge fan of the fall. I just like that time of year to run in general. It's always been my favorite. Reminds me of cross country growing up. So I really like the fall Superior. And then it's hard to beat the leaves falling down at the whistle stop too.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
But the atmosphere of grandma's is second to none for sure.
Yep.
What about bucket list races or bucket list race distances?
Yeah. I want to take a crack at the Wild Duluth 100 time. I'm just scared of that. And then like getting over to one of the shorter MB races, like the CCC or something like that, just to run over there looks mind-blowing. So I have no idea how that's going to work out, but at some point I'd like to do that. And then there's a couple in Norway that have caught my eye that just look absolutely epic. And I used to live in Norway with my wife right away after we got married for several months. So it'd be cool to get back over there, run in the mountains, and then travel around and get to experience a little more of Norway too, because Norway is amazing. I want to live there someday, for even if it's just the summer, just to go back and hang out there.
Where did you live in Norway?
Lillehammer. So.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Nice.
Just north of Oslo a little bit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Amazing.
Unless you have any other questions about races and such, I'm definitely curious to get into the Duluth Runner and kind of what that's all about. Tony, did you have any other questions about races or anything like that? Or
no, I definitely want to talk about the Duluth Runner. Tell us about how that got started. Tell us about what it is for some of our listeners who might not know as well.
Yeah, so that was kind of just an idea in my head for a couple years, and kind of would bounce stuff off with Hexam on our long runs together. And then finally, I guess coming up on 2 years ago, on March 1st, hit the publish button and went live and finally just did it. But I think it's sort of evolved since that time 2 years ago, but really the focus is to just get people outside. That's really what it comes down to. Get outside, get active, enjoy this wonderful place that we call home. And from there, there's coaching services, there's the blog with articles that get published, and then also interviews as part of that blog, which have been really fun to do. I've got to meet, even though it's digitally, I've got to meet new people, and it's just fun hearing their stories too. I think that's just super motivational, and people enjoy reading them too. So it's fun content to put out as well and get to know more of our mainly local runners too. And then I guess a resource as well. Some of the stuff, like I'll have a bunch of the gear that I use that's out there for people to use, because I know when I was just starting out, it was fun and to search for gear and like, hey, what are people liking or using? And that was helpful for me when I was getting back into it. So I wanted to create a resource like that as well. And that's one of the pages on the website. But it's really just a place where people can be entertained, but also learn more about running if they want to, or their niece or nephew was interviewed and that kind of brought them to the website and they liked reading about them and learning more of their story that way as well. But it's really just a fun thing that I've enjoyed doing, and I wanted to give it a try, so finally I got around to it. And coming up on 2 years here in less than a month, which is crazy. And I've had a lot of fun along the way and met some amazing people. And I guess back of mind because of the pandemic, but we also had monthly run meetups through the website as well, which were amazing and were going so well. And actually partnered with Ursa Minor for a weekly Thursday run at from the brewery. And obviously that's had to be paused here for a while, but I cannot wait to start those up again because they were an absolute blast. So hopefully sometime later 2021 we're able to get those started back up, because that's been a great community building type thing as well.
Excellent. Yeah.
And yeah. Kyle, what's the name of the website, or what's the address for some of the listeners?
Yeah, so it's https and then I guess colon backslash backslash DuluthRunner.com. So I think you can just type in DuluthRunner.com and it'll bring you to it. So you don't have to worry about the nerdy stuff that I just reeled off there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And what's your vision for the future with the Duluth Runner? What do you want to see going forward?
Yeah. I kind of informally started a YouTube channel as part of it. It only has 3 videos. I haven't like announced that I have it yet just because I want some more content up on that. But I really want to get more into the outdoor scene that isn't just running, because I really enjoy hiking, backpacking trips on the SHT, Boundary Waters canoe trips. Like, I thoroughly enjoy those. And I think that's definitely something I've been trying to do more over the past 4 or 5 months. Interviewing through hikers and stuff like that, not just runners, and kind of diversifying in that way too. But really, it's not just, this area has so much to offer more than just outdoor running or biking activities, that I want to help spread the word on that as well, and help educate. And I guess pictures do a great job of telling stories. So stuff like Instagram, they're sometimes clickbaity, like, oh, that's a sweet picture. But also it can help draw people to the outdoors. And I think that's a great, great avenue to do it. And looking forward to that aspect, and then trying to build on this YouTube video stuff too. And learn, because obviously I'm a complete hack at it right now. So it'll be fun to try to learn better ways with that as well.
Super sweet. So that is DuluthRunner.com.
Yep. Got it.
A question I always like to mention, and I guess maybe a question that Tony mentions more than I do, but either way, I'd love to know, Kyle, what's your favorite part about living and running in the Duluth area?
Oh man, I guess my favorite part is that I live here and get to experience it. It's hard to just hone in on one specific thing, but I can't stress enough how amazing it is to, even if you have to drive, I have to drive because I don't live right next to the trails. But even if you have to drive, once you get to the trailhead and get out of your car and start going for a jog on the trails, there's just something magical about it that words can't describe, or can't do it justice anyway. And getting people to get out and experience that for themselves, especially if they've never done it, even if it's just a hike, go find a section of the Superior Hiking Trail and just go for a hike. Even if it's a mile, go out half a mile, come back. Your life is changed for the better because of that experience, and not just physically, but also mentally. And the benefits are so amazing. And now there's science backing up all of this. of the research and everything. So just encouraging people to get outdoors is really huge. And I love that I get to have access to so many wonderful trail systems. And that includes the lake walk. It doesn't have to be just dirt, like hiking, biking trails. Right. We have so many awesome trails around here that I'm just very thankful and glad that everything has worked out where I've been able to stick around the Duluth area post college. So it's been amazing.
Yeah.
I imagine you guys plan on sticking around as long as you possibly can.
Yeah. Yep. I have a feeling like we'll always at least like have a home base here.
Yeah.
Go explore, but always have something here to come back to. And especially with nice. Our young kids here, like, We're staying here for a while, and I don't foresee ever permanently leaving the Duluth area, but who knows?
Right. Yeah, you never know.
Yep.
Tony, do you have any other burning questions for Kyle or topics to explore? I mean, I think we kind of just scratched the surface, but...
Yeah, I don't really have a ton more questions, but I wanted to like at least mention, Kyle, from what I've seen on the Duluth Runner, I really appreciate the work that you're doing, and you described it really well. And, you know, I thank you for doing that. I think it's a really great thing for the running community to have some fresh voices is really good. And what like Mike and I have discovered through this podcast is, and you've discovered as well, there are some great stories out there. And we're also coming up on our 2-year anniversary. That'll be in April, so we're right behind you by a month. And like you mentioned, you know, there's more to go, and so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the kind words. It's always, I mean, I'm just putting stuff out there. Like it's nice to know that people are reading it or enjoying it, even if it's just slightly. That it's maybe helping someone out or being entertaining for someone. So I really appreciate the kind words. And I remember going for a run with Mike around this time, and I think I may have already hit the publish button and was just chatting with him. Yeah. And then he mentioned that you guys were going to start something up similar and basically the same dang name too. So that's pretty awesome.
I know.
But yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun following your guys' journey as well, pretty much parallel tracks here. So I think the more the Duluth running scene can be talked about, the better. And getting more people involved is something that we should probably both focus here on in 2021 once things can get started up again. So, yeah, thank you very much. And, man, I was so pumped and honored when Mike sent me the text. So I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
And yeah, just another kind of shout out, the Duluth Runner, or no, DuluthRunner.com is where people can go to find the YouTube videos, Kyle, interviews, the whole everything.
Yeah, hopefully see some more people over there. And for those listening, feel free to shoot me any questions or say, hey, you should try this. I'm always open to feedback as well to try and make the website better and help as many people as possible. So I'm always open to feedback as well.
Great. Well, yeah, thanks again. Kyle, for popping in the Duluth Rundown.
Yeah, thanks again, guys. Have a good one.
All right, see
you. Again, and do a outro. So, whenever you're ready.
Okay, and that wraps up number 34 of the Duluth Rundown. And you know, again, just thanks to all of our listeners out there. Really appreciate you guys listening. We're kind of a goofy podcast, but it's really fun to celebrate, you know, the Duluth outdoor scene, the running scene in particular. Really proud to be a part of the Duluth running scene and all of its history. And hopefully we're able to offer some sort of at least a small little celebration of that. And a huge thanks to our sponsor, Austin Jaro, who has been a part of the Duluth running scene for a long time, and you know, they've helped out countless people over the years. So we're honored to be kind of partnered with them as well.
Absolutely. That being said, hope to see everyone out there, and we'll see you in a couple more weeks.